Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 12th of March.
March.
2024.
1 week until my birthday.
One week. 2 days before Pi Day.
Oh, that's right. 3.14. You know, some of the young people probably don't even know what that is. Or if they do, they're not exactly sure what it's used for.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
And the significance of it in the universe. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing. It was geometry that we got. Was geometry the main one for that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, geometry. And then everything revolved around using...
Or trig. Was it trig?
Maybe it was trigonometry.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. Well.
You're doing well. Good. Well, a lot of things have happening. Since we last talked, we saw some volatility back in the markets. It's almost like, oh, finally. You know, where everything was just going up and everything was just swimmingly along. And then all of a sudden you get some new numbers once again that the market believes for about 2 days, 3 days, that, oh, inflation is picking up. And then you see numbers that confirm it. And then a few days later, it's like, And then a week later, more numbers that confirm it. They're like, oh, well, we knew that last week, so let's just move on. Bitcoin mania is going on. Have you been watching that at all?
Oh, it's on a roll.
You get up every day, you're like, whoa, what happened there? I think it hit as high as 72,000, all-time high.
Yeah, why?
Probably a lot of reasons, but I think it has to do with the buying that's going on, the finalization of the selling in some of the Greystone Bitcoin trusts and all the other ones that were liquidated. And even though they were bought on the other side, it seems like people are waiting for this thing to flush out. I don't think there's any reason that's like, first of all, it wasn't earnings. It wasn't a management change. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't any of the normal suspects.
It was just, it's about time, all that stuff. All the waiting is over. The ETFs are live and they're working. Everything is working fine. And now I think the more that there is the opportunity for people to realize that, wow, hey, hold on a second, that may actually be available in a 401k eventually, and people could just start plowing money into it, that's pretty good. But I have a few other things to talk about on that. We'll get to that in a second. We do need a new close to the pin stock. You have any ideas?
Do we do NVIDIA yet?
Yeah, I think twice. That one, there's got to be something. I mean,
how about Rumble?
What is that?
The video service. They're public. They trade under the ticker RUM.
Rumble. Which
should be
up 18% today.
Yeah.
Let's see how long they've been around.
They've
been around a long time.
They've been around a long time as a public traded company?
2021.
Oh. Well, the reason it went up is because they came out with some tools for live streamers. And these tools make it easier for more people, which is what we don't need. More people to get on the streaming service and start yelling at the screen.
And today, they expressed interest in acquiring TikTok.
Yeah, well, that's a joke.
Revenue is $17 million on a quarterly basis. Net income, negative $29 million. I wonder if they have annual. Let's see. September, is there annual here? Is he quarterly? Let's see. Earnings were up. Revenue was up. Net income was down. Profit margins is negative. Everything negative, negative, negative.
Yeah, they can't make money.
No.
If they got TikTok, which they're not going to do, but the idea, the one thing they are missing is they don't have those magic algorithms that grab your personality type and what based on just you making a few clicks and kind of carrying you through an endless supply of crap that you have to watch because for some reason is compelling to you personally. You know, YouTube has it. TikTok's got the best one. Everyone agrees. And Meta works on it.
I watched something last week. Someone my age. And I never really witnessed it. I never really noticed it before. Or I don't pay attention. I don't know. But endless scrolling. And clearly on TikTok. And mesmerized.
Was it TikTok or Instagram some system?
It looked to me like TikTok. Okay. Mesmerized. For
that's
hours.
The idea.
Hours.
You have to have a lot of willpower to go on these systems.
You can't. Sometimes you can't get off. And then you repeat the stuff back and forth. And, you know, you hear what ended up happening is I saw the things that he was watching. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't like it was, you know, I was doing anything wrong. But that discussion came out during the time afterwards, like those things. And it was all about, you know, Joe Biden and inflation and Trump coming back and solving all the problems. There's a lot of it on there. So you want to put Rumble on there, R-U-M?
I think it'd be a good one. It's off the wall. It's very unusual. It's going to be active for a while.
Yep, 312. Okay, got it. I got it. You're the boss. LSD is making an interesting comeback. I know that was a left turn there.
What's that the ticker symbol for?
Yeah, they proclaim now that it has, I guess, it's a miracle cure for an ailment. It's an elixir, I suppose. One shot. One time. Well, not a shot, but one time. It alleviates.
One tab.
Yeah. One Mickey Mouse. What do they call it? Microdot Mickey Mouse or something like that?
I forget what they.
They put it on the back of envelopes, right? Or something. Or postage stamps. Postage stamps.
Yeah.
Big news. NVIDIA had two
days. Wait, what is it cure? You didn't say.
I didn't say it was because I was wanting to keep you on your toes about it. Anxiety.
Oh, please.
Yep. I'll tell you.
I can't imagine it curing anxiety. I think it probably, it seems to me to be something that creates it.
Especially with a bad trip, right?
Well, a bad trip, a good trip, any trip.
Well, a clinical trial's encouraging results won U.S. Food and Drug Administration breakthrough therapy status for an LSD formulation to treat generalized anxiety disorder. A company named Mind Medicine announced Thursday that the biopharmaceutical company is developing the drug. And they said, quote, a breakthrough designation is recognition that a drug
And you take it once?
Yeah, there was something about once, and it's like
kind of a drug is that? That doesn't benefit anybody. These drug companies want you to get hooked on stuff.
Yeah, I think it's once every like few months. So it met an unmet, it is meeting an unmet medical need with morbidity and mortality associated. Yeah, right. Exactly. Middle of the night, Friday night. Let's do I'm feeling nervous. What are we going to do? Hey, let's get you some LSD. Shall we? Crazy. All right. What else we got? Markets. NVIDIA down 2 days. It was down twice in the last week or so since we last. I don't think it was more than that. One day was pretty big reversal. Everybody got really nervous. It's like, oh, it's the end. The end of it. And then today was up $69, $70. Yields are moving up. CPI numbers came out. And we saw, again, a big rebound for NVIDIA, not letting it go down too much. It was about 8% top to bottom, though. I think 975 or right around there was the top, and when it hit that, it just went, that's that. Just imploded downward, lost like 100 and something points. But today we did see a very interesting inflation print. CPI was out today. Total CPI increased by 0.4% on a month-over-month basis, which met expectations, by the way. And when you look at core CPI, which excluded food and energy, it also rose by 0.4% month over month. 0.3% was the estimate. But that when the numbers are bad like this, you never go to the annualization. So when you see a number that came in, let's say 0.2, oh, Annualized, that's 2.4%. We're getting closer to that point where the Fed may start to cut rates. But no, at 0.4%, nobody annualizes because that would be 4.8%, right?
Yeah.
That's without using pi. That's straight math. Yeah. Now, on a year-over-year basis, total CPI was up 3.2% compared to 3.1% in January, and core increased by 3.8% versus 3.9% in January. Now, markets at first were very upset at 8:30 this morning. But then, all of a sudden, people realized, wait a minute, if we could find something to extract from it to make it look good, then maybe we could push markets up. So what happened is, if you could exclude shelter, the cost of your, because if for whatever reason you don't actually live anywhere and you want to exclude this.
Yeah, if you're homeless, yeah, you don't, it works fine.
Yeah, it works fine. This calculation of your particular cost is better. If you exclude shelter, CPI rose more like in line with about 1.8% year over year. And markets got really happy about that because that
good
number.
Twist.
Well, of course, they found something. Well, that number, though, what's interesting about that number is the 1.8% and the excluding shelter is kind of what you see in the PCE number, which is every time you have to say it, you know the line, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. Or sometimes the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. So when you look at that way, and that's what supposedly the Fed's looking at, they would you would expect they would discount the shelter as well. So therefore, they're thinking, wow, we must be in line here. Here's some of the takeaways that I thought were really interesting. Food index was up by 2.2% year over year, no change month over month. Energy rose 2.3% year over year and month over month and declined year over year. So that was interesting. Used cars and trucks saw a 0.5% increase month over month and a decrease year over year, slight 1.8%. Apparel was up unchanged over year over year. And the all items index, excluding food, shelter, and energy. So I don't know why they call the all items index excluding. Shouldn't they call it the index that excludes food? I don't know what the point of that is. Increased by 0.3% and 2.2% over a year. So here's a couple of charts that you need to look at. You can see all of these on dhunplugged.com, episode number, 694. And that's in the show notes section. So definitely check that out. And let's get to that. So you want to start with the first one? You want to describe this?
Yeah, hang on. Sorry, I clicked change screen. Yeah, the first one, well, I don't know. What is it? What am I looking at here? It looks like hourly earnings have gone up a little bit, which I think is the most important thing on here. And everything else is like the trend is down.
The trend is down. I agree with you. So when you look at this and you look at these inflation gauges, which are percentages on a year-over-year basis, that's what we're looking at. So basically, essentially everything is, let's just call everything top left to bottom right, generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at this, you start saying, well, isn't that good? Inflation is coming down. Things are getting better. We have less. Cost less.
Everything. Except we always have the issue with this is cumulative.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because you know what I did this time? I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. Let's look at the next chart, shall we? Oh, it didn't work.
Nobody wants to talk about that for some reason.
Wait, did that come up though? Did I put the same chart there?
Yeah, you screwed it up. I wanted to see this chart too.
I have the chart. If you give me a second, I could do this. I could do this. 5 seconds.
No, take your time.
All posts. You just have to refresh your screen when I do this. All right, let me make this bigger. And that is right. Yeah, here. Okay, add media. This one right here. No, that's the cues. This one. Copy. Okay, so I'm going to put that right in here. Live. Yeah. All right, let me save it. Now, 1 second. Refresh your screen. Yeah, that should work now. And we should have this. There you go.
I don't have anything on here. Blanked it out. Oh, wait. Oh, here's what the problem is. Okay.
Now, there's a 10-year chart.
There you go.
There's a 10-year chart.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Here's some here's a little reality check. There's a reality. There's a reality check here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
This is a 10-year U.S. consumer price index, and this is the raw numbers. This is not the year over year, the month of month.
Yeah, it's cumulative. This is what it should be. This is what people should be talking about.
Right, this is not excluding anything. You know, it's the old index excluding everything but butter. You know what I'm saying?
So I'll explain what I'm looking at here to everybody. So 10 years ago, if you had a pot of money that was about, I'm looking at $235 or let's say you have a basket of goods that cost you $235 to buy. So I just have to put out $235 to buy this bucket full of stuff. Now I have to pay $311 for the exact same stuff.
Right.
So my money has become almost a, so if I have $1,000 in cash, it's now worth about $700.
What's interesting, there was only a couple of blips down, but that 2020 was the most significant, right? Right in the beginning there, that March dip into, but
you want to call it significant, sure.
Well, in the big scheme of things, if that-
Like a hiccup.
Yeah, but- The line up from 250 to 311 in the last 2 years is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost a hockey stick.
Terrible. And everybody's taking credit. Oh, we're taking credit.
Things yeah, this is actually a great chart. This is the chart people should be talking about, but nobody wants to talk about it because this chart tells everybody that their cash, cash or anything, is worth about 30% less than it was just 10 years ago. And that's a pretty drastic change in that short period of time.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons also the stock market's doing well. Stock market's doing well because essentially
the assets are
moving up.
Valued higher.
Right. So it's not like some wondrous thing here. I mean, look at the Argentinian. You got 75% inflation a month or whatever, and their stock market's up like, 800%. It's not because their stocks are doing so well. It's because everything's getting devalued around it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about layoffs. Not fitting the narrative at all. The narrative is, everything is pretty strong. The economy's great. Things are good. Very weird. It's a very weird set of criteria here that are just, it's just strange because layoff announcements.
Well, it's strange, especially when we're bringing in illegal immigrants to take jobs.
Well, maybe that's why it's not being counted.
That's possible.
Something's off because layoff announcements in February were the highest level for the month since the global financial crisis. It's from
2007, 2008, 2009.
It's from Challenger Gray and Christmas. Total of 84,000 planned cuts showed an increase of 3% from January and 9% from the same month a year ago when technology and finance companies are at their forefront. So the two.
Well, that's all that's left, isn't there? I mean, what manufacturing is left besides Boeing?
Dell. Dell manufactures computers. Oh, no, that's technology. NVIDIA.
It's technology, NVIDIA. And most of their manufacturing is in China.
Yeah. From a historical perspective, what the worst levels that are being shown right now since 2009.
Hmm. Well, this is a bad news version of the show.
Well, here's where it gets interesting, though. The number of layoffs total are not feeding through to the weekly jobless claims, which means in a weird way that the unemployment is really short-lived and that people are able to find jobs like in a snap. Because we're not seeing this. We're not seeing, we went from a 3.7 to a 3.9% unemployment rate. I know that. Fine. And we did see a pretty hot number. Oddly, we saw a lot more people being hired last month. It was last Friday. A lot more people being hired, but yet the unemployment rate went up, which is weird. Okay. And we're seeing that these comments about a lot of people being laid off, but yet not feeding into the weekly numbers. We saw like 211,000 initial claims. I think the week before that was like 190. So there's not a lot of people that are just, you know, all out of work. I had a talk with somebody today. They said they quit their job. They're going to find something. They got their phone's ringing off the hook already.
What do they do?
They're in the technology area.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
What I think it is we have a very strong economy that's being masked by some other interesting things. And the avalanche of money that was poured down upon everybody, the helicopter money that was released during COVID and 2009 and in 2000, when was the bank crisis? March of 2023, right? March 2023, even though we had, you know, a big rate increase over that period of time, things are still hot. Houses down here are still selling like crazy. This small house right down the block I passed today, it's about, I think it's a 4-bedroom, maybe 3-bath, or maybe it's right around there at the most. And maybe it's about 2,500 square feet, $2.5
million. Wow.
Yep.
That's better than California prices.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know, where you go. So you sell your house, you buy something else. Your tax rate goes up. Your insurance goes up. You know, there's no reason to do a horizontal move.
No.
So everybody's staying put. Let's talk about Powell.
Then when people stay put, the prices go up.
They're definitely going up. There's less inventory on the market, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very desirable area, even though they keep on building here. Jay Powell, Jerome, kind of back and forth last week. He said, last week during one conversation that the Fed is watching and not ready to really cut rates and they're data dependent and doesn't show that they really should do something. Then like 2 days later, comes out with a commentary that interest rate cuts may not be too far off.
Must have gotten a call.
He got the call. In remarks to the Senate Banking Committee, the central bank leader, Jay Powell, didn't provide a precise timetable, but he noted that the day, he said, right? So the day could be coming soon. Oh, talk about dog whistle. The day could be coming soon. They got to do something because they're starting to.
Of course, it's coming soon, but what's the definition of soon?
Well, as long as the markets don't go down, they don't have to step in and do anything crazy. As long as the markets are happy, even though rates went up today after that inflation report to 4.15% again, over 4%, still not the high, but definitely not below 4, signaling that maybe there could be a cut in June, maybe, maybe not, we'll see. We're still having big problems, though, in the banking world. Some of the lingering effects of higher interest rates and some of the problems of, like, in New York, the rent control.
New York's got to be a nightmare.
Rent control. Can you imagine being a lender on a rent-controlled housing where you can't actually increase anything? So you're screwed.
Well, I mean, the problem you have is that this rent control, these numbers go back to the 1970s how far back do they go?
It's back far. It's far. Yeah.
They go back a long way.
And you can keep it in your family. As a matter of fact, we had a situation where we had a rent controlled in Soho in the Village area. It was in my family and they were passing away. Something happened. And we're like, well, what are we going to do with this? Nobody in the family wanted to live there. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's so cheap. But once it goes. Now, one of the banks there.
I know people in New York that had places back that they got an early rent control and they're making like millions of dollars and they couldn't, they would refuse to move.
Yeah. Why should you move? You're paying $180 a month of rent. What are you moving? Where are you going?
Yeah. What are you thinking?
New York City Bank Corp, the most recent bank in big trouble, they bought remember something. They bought Signature Bank back when that was going on.
New York City Community Bank.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Something else.
Oh. They recently lost 7% of deposits. Bond rating was cut. Big problems. Bank went to, it was $5, $4. Then also goes to $1.70. Crashes down to $1.70.
Nice.
Investment firm led by Steve Mnuchin. Remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he swooped in with a
Mr. Personality, we call him.
Swooped in with a cool $1 billion rescue package. So that was kind of cool. But there's a lot more going on there. The real big problems with that bank. And this is just the after effects, the continual after effects. You know, they swallowed a poison, and it seems to have really leaked out. They thought they could handle what was ever going on with Signature Bank. And it was more than just crypto, but it was a lot of lending in the rent controlled areas in New York. Big problems. Larry Ellison's having a good day. New all-time high for Oracle. Company reported $1.41 per share, 3 cents better than the consensus. Revenues rose 7.1% year over year. That was good. But if you look at this list. Could you go through this list, please? Because I think it's pretty fascinating, the increase on a year-over-year basis of these components.
Okay. Quarter three, total remaining performance obligations up 29% to $80 billion. Cloud revenue, $5.1 billion up 25%, up 24% in constant currency. Cloud infrastructure revenue, $1.8 billion, up 49%. That's a good one. Cloud application, this is funny because Larry Ellison always said the cloud was bull crap. Cloud application revenue, this is software as a service, $3.3 billion, up 14%. Fusion Cloud ERP, software as a service, $0.8 billion, up 18%. NetSuite, which they bought some a little while ago, sales revenue, $8.8 billion, up 21%. It's just everything's up.
Not bad,
and
right?
It's all cloud.
All cloud. Yep. So pretty good how it's kind of funny because Oracle, it was like a name from the past, and then they held in there, but they're like a middle runner, aren't they? I mean, they're not the top of the heap.
No, the top of the heap, I think it's still Amazon. I think that's followed by Microsoft.
Yeah.
IBM's also a player.
IBM is approaching an all-time high.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
Well, they bought Red Hat. Red Hat's helping them along.
Yeah, but they bought Red Hat a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe people finally recognizing what they are. Maybe they're looking at their the IBM blue guy, you know, for AI. That was Watson was the first AI, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess technically. Maybe. Well, actually, there was other stuff that came along in the 80s that was pre-Watson. Deep Blue is, I think, could be called AI.
Yeah, but they couldn't capture
chess playing program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, China
has a long and AI has a long and checkered past.
Long and checkered past. Playing chess. Well, now everything's called everything's just called AI now, right?
You call it AI because you get your stock jacked up.
Right. Let's see what else.
Blockchain.
Yeah.
when is that going to be combined to AI blockchain? Ooh. AI?
Yeah. Huh? AI blockchain cloud.
It's a moneymaker.
I love that. AI blockchain cloud buyback. Like some kind of an acronym of all that.
SPAC.
All right, China stocks moving up nicely. That was something that we looked at, we called. As a matter of fact, picked it for the game some time ago. Finally, after many false starts, people are starting to think that maybe there's some value here. Maybe
there's got to be somewhere. I mean, here and there.
Yeah,
it's all backed up by the government.
The thing is that there was all of this concerning. I don't know. There was a lot of big concern with regard to how much the government could really do or what they were willing to do. And now it seems that I don't know if it's they're believing it, or they're buying into it, or they're just saying the hell with it. But all of a sudden, you know, again, we know all these problems with the slow economy, reopening issues, the potential for further tariffs, not using their products. You know, I mean, the list, you know, that whole list, it's gigantic. But now all of a sudden everybody's talking about the value proposition. And even though the government has shown that they have a lot of power over many of the tech companies, and they'll be willing to, you know, black bag you and take you off to some hotel somewhere and hold you until you give up some of your profits. It's pretty interesting how now all of a sudden it's a big run. I mean, it's been a big run.
Yeah.
Now in China, also one of the things you want to look at is some of the things they're doing in the EV area. You know, the company Xiaomi?
Yeah.
Xiaomi. They announced Tuesday it would be formally launching its long-awaited electric car, March 28th. The company claimed that as a social media post that would be delivered as soon as it's launched, which I'm not sure what that means. It's going to be delivered as soon as it's launched. Does that mean when you launch it is when you announce it? Or does it mean when it's ready, it's launched?
Why is a smartphone company doing an electric car?
Well, Apple was doing that for a while.
Yeah, they bailed.
They bailed this week.
Right.
I don't know. Is it going to compete with Tesla and Porsche?
It'd be competing with what's that little car company that makes the good car company? No, Neo. I have it on the game.
Neo. Yeah. Neo and BYD.
Yeah, those are the big boys, not this guy.
But this is a much nicer. I think this is a really pretty car. Look at this. The link. Look at the picture there. Don't you think it's a pretty car?
Let me look. That talk about a derivative looking car. It's got a front end of a Porsche.
Right.
And the back end of a Tesla.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a Tesla Porsche. Porsche Tesla.
The Tesla Porsche. Well, the front end is prettier than the Tesla's front end. I mean, the original Tesla S had a nice look to it because it was, you know, modern Jaguarish looking, but then they got with this snub nose looking thing that Model 3
hate
or whatever.
It. Hate this it. Is ugly.
Horrible looking. It looks just looks cheap. This looks, it looks, yeah, it looks okay.
I'm saying, right? And it does, the SU7 Max can do 497 miles on a charge.
Says them.
Well, I just, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I bought one of these little, this is a crazy story. For the office, somebody said, oh, we need a new vacuum cleaner. I'm like, all right, let me just see what's on there. Okay, we'll get this one. Great ratings. It's one of these like Shark Ninja knockoffs, Dyson knockoffs with, a battery powered kind of thing. And
plugged you're talking it in. About the, that's a, isn't that the Shark Ninja product you're talking about, which is the knockoff?
Well, there's knockoffs to the knockoffs.
Wow. This is a three-step knockoff.
Yeah, so this is like a $100 unit. The Shark Ninja's like $250. Dyson's like, I don't know, $800?
It's over, yeah.
So I use it once. I give it to the people to use it. They come back the next day, like, the battery's not working. I'm like, well, plug it in and charge the battery. They're like, it's been plugged in overnight. I'm like, I don't, what am I supposed to say to this? I'm like, okay, I'll give you guys, you know, I'll log into my Amazon account. I'll give you the return thing. So they returned it. You know, and Amazon gladly sent a new one. Same thing happened 3 days after.
What's the name of this product we should know about?
Well, what's even worse about this is they offered us, they wrote me because they saw that I bought it from Amazon. They offered me $100. Now, mind you, I only bought this thing for $80. $100 for a review.
You're going to give it a lousy review.
This is before I knew it shut down.
Oh.
I will tell you, I did not give them a good review today. But it's being returned.
You got paid to do a review for Amazon?
The company that sold the crappy battery
operated thing.
Yes. Okay. The company that sold the crappy battery operated thing was going to pay me $100 to write a positive review about their vacuum cleaner.
Did it have to be positive?
I don't know. I just discounted it to begin with. I just know it was $100 for the review.
This reminds me of my my flight. One time I flew Emirates to Dubai. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on the plane. And a beautiful flight, great food. Most of the people were wearing those, you know, dish dashes. They were all dressed up. The Arabs, it was filled with Arabs. And so you go down and you fly in there. And they, but just before landing, they come around with a bunch of handfuls of magazines, and they drop the magazines in front of you, and they say, "Look, this you can get review the flight and our service and everything else in these magazines." And they get, you know, you got these magazines in front of you, and they the stewardess or steward or whoever it is stands over you.
Oh.
As you're filling out these forms,
oh.
Then they collect all the magazines and ship in the reviews to the magazines, which, you know, they get Emirates gets these terrific reviews. And I think part of, now I would say it is a terrific airline, but come on.
Well, they probably take the reviews, review them before they hand them in and throw out the bad ones.
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah. Same stuff.
But with somebody standing over you, you know, you're not going to put bad service or, you know,
right, homely. Especially if you're looking for a drink or something after throughout the flight.
Yeah. So you usually wrap it up pretty high ratings, 10 out of 10.
Yep. Look at this second picture. This is the interior of the car.
Another I looked at it. Minimalist. It looks just like a Tesla.
In these electric cars, they feel it's unnecessary to put anything in the car.
And they put that laptop in there, that big screen. I don't like the idea of a screen in the middle of the console like that.
Yeah. They have
and then a big P. Is there no speedometer? There's just a big giant P straight ahead so you know you're in park. I mean, how many times do you have to look down to see what gear you're in?
Well, if you're in China, what does P stand for anyway?
Ping pong.
I'm just saying, why don't they have a Chinese letter there?
That should be a Chinese character.
That's stupid. All right, even more China. China is also testing, this is unbelievable, an AI assistant for neurosurgeons. So 7 hospitals in Beijing and other cities in coming months are going to be using these. One of the many initiatives the government is backing to try and harness the technology. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of things I would think that I would test this out on rather than during neurosurgery.
Yeah.
I think
it's just some sort of a end around to get these NVIDIA chips.
Well, let's think. What
particularly, we're probably using them in smart bombs.
Yeah, what harmless area could we test AI on in the medical field? I know. Neurosurgery. Yeah. The Hong Kong-based Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics employed about 100 graphics processor units to train its healthcare-focused model, split evenly between NVIDIA's A100 high-end chips, how'd they get those, and Huawei's technologies, Ascend 910Bs. I don't understand. I thought they're not supposed to be getting these things.
Yeah, that's what I understand, too.
There's a chip.
They found a workaround. There was something probably written in the sanctions that you were allowed to get these chips if you did this or that. And this is what we're looking at. This has got to be it. It's got to be a loophole.
They also had some kind of like knockdown chip, you know, with like maybe one area disabled. It's like, okay, let me see. Ah, you look on the chip. Remember the boards? They would have, what were those called? What are those things called where you put a little piece of plastic over it to turn that on, turn it off?
Yeah, that was being done now and again, usually with off-spec product.
Yeah, you could kind of like, you know, connect these or non-connect. Anyway, that's probably what it is. Like, oh, that's off for China. Okay, we get it. It's off. Thank you. We'll just flick it on now. Right?
Yeah, and it would take nothing to reattach it.
Right.
I'm reminded, again, I hate to be keeping telling these stories, but radio should, during the early days of analog cell phone technology, Radio Shack had a scanner. It was like it's a general scanner for radios, but there was this underground methodology. If you soldered a joint inside the device, it turned into a cell phone scanner so you could listen in on phone calls.
Hmm.
So you just turn it on and the next thing you know, you're listening in on phone calls. We made a kind of a party out of this for, let's say, 2 or 3 years at the house. We'd have dinner and turn this thing on and listen to people talking. And it was just mostly drug deals.
Oh.
Yeah, it was drug. I can remember these calls, drug deals. It depends on the hour, but during dinner it was drug deals and guys calling their mistress to say they can't come over tonight. The wife is getting suspicious. You get a lot of that.
Wait, how come you didn't get any normal phone calls? You always had these crazy phone calls?
I would say 90% of the phone calls were not normal. They were all this. Oh, the last one, if we did it during the day, it was mostly guys calling their secretary to get just before Google, getting directions on how to get to point A or to point B.
Oh.
So there's a lot of calling to get directions, a lot of hookers, and a lot of lewd calls. And then there was always a couple of stock market guys chatting, and they would they'd change cells, and this thing wouldn't do that.
Hmm.
So you'd always miss out on the stock tip, which was very annoying. Hmm. But then when they went digital, this was all moot.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Good times. Fun times.
Yeah.
It was like a party line.
It was like a party line, and I was a little kid. We used to have a party line.
Yeah.
And I was on the party line every so often, and especially this one party line we had. There was this girl who was always talking to her boyfriend, and she picked up on the fact that I was listening in once and told me to get out the phone, you little twerp. Like in the third grade or something.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to Japan now. Somehow, miraculously, a couple of weeks ago when we talked last about Japan, we were saying, the UK and Japan are now in a recession officially. Well, miracle of miracles.
That caught me by surprise.
Miracle of miracles. Japan's gross domestic product actually expanded 0.4% in the fourth quarter compared to the year earlier. The other thing was a provisional data, which showed GDP contracting 0.4. So they had a 0.8% differential between the provisional data and the actual data. Now, I ask you, John, does that seem likely?
No.
Was there another phone call?
Yeah.
Hi.
These phone calls.
Yeah, here's the phone call.
Are getting on my nerves.
Here's the phone call. Hey, I got a good idea. You know, you showed that negative 0.4. Well, if we change it around and, make it like a plus 0.3 or plus, it's going to look weird. So you know what? Just take the negative off and make it a positive, and we'll say it was kind of a mistake from that level. Cleans it up a lot better. Yen rallied. Market sold off. Worse in months. Because now the thinking is that the Bank of Japan, the BOJ, is going to come in and do something. We talked about the Apple
buying
car.
Opportunity for Japan.
For Japan. It's at all-time highs. Got all-time highs. 35 years to get there. Can you imagine where it'll be in another 35 years? Let's keep going.
Probably the same spot.
It could be. Apple, we talked about this, canceling their car. Apple will wind down its team. I went to an Apple store because my phone, brand new phone that I got, dropped it and it cracked the screen, so I had to get a new screen. So I went to the Apple store the other day. It smells like a men's locker room.
It's what?
It smelled like a men's locker room.
It smelled like a men's locker. Smelled like it stinks?
It did. It stunk. Like,
they don't have air conditioning? Well, or you're in Florida. I mean, I don't know if the one around here would
stink.
It's
in a mall. I walked in. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know what? Maybe it's today. Maybe something's not right. Well, I had to
but
go.
There's a bunch of people with bare feet.
It's possible.
The bane of your existence.
You don't know. It's possible. So I had to go back the next day. I walk in. I'm like, what is going on? Stinks. Stinks. And I've mentioned that to a few people.
It stunk again the next day?
And I've mentioned this to other people. And they're like, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I've been to that store too. It stinks.
So you've been to any other stores to compare the stench?
I've never thought.
Oh, so it's just one store that stinks.
So maybe some people living in the back or something.
Could be.
But they're winding down the car. They said that they're going to cease. It's The Apple's going to cease its secretive effort. It's secretive effort to build a car to rival Tesla. Oh, well. It's that time, John. We're going to talk about crypto, shall we?
Oh, sure.
You know, there's been an ongoing discussion of what's crypto for? What's Bitcoin? Well, it's the three pillars, as I call it. You got the store of value story. You know, all these people saying that, you know, the inflation and the confiscation of money and bad government.
Oh, yeah, any minute.
And the dollar's going to zero. And you need something. You want gold?
And gold's no good. No good. I talked to the crypto people. No.
Yeah,
no
let's
good.
Get with this. Bitcoin's the only way to go. Okay. Then you got a currency. It's used for payments, right? You know, this great payment system that is utilized anywhere around the world. It's fast. It's quick. It's cheap. It's accurate.
Works.
Okay.
That's a blockchain.
Yeah, of course. And then the third pillar was it's a speculative investment. It's just something that
I think the way the two of us see it.
Yeah. So there was in the beginning there was this culture changing phenomena where this investment for the people and by the people.
It is, especially if you got it at 6 cents when it came out.
Well, yeah, that gives you some religion. I get it. Right? If you got it at six cents and
even 25 cents.
Right. So now even these hardcore maximalists are just talking about it as an investment. That's all they're saying.
I agree with, yes, they are.
And they're making shit up as they go. They're just saying whatever they got to say. And now it's like, oh, you know, it's a great investment. And volatility is not a bug. It's a feature. Volatility is not a bug. It's a feature. Who thinks of these things?
Well, you can say that when it's at $72,000 a coin.
Right. When it's at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Let's see where it is right now, shall we?
It's, I'm guessing, 72.5.
Let's see here. Bitcoin, 71,888.
Ooh, it went down.
Ethereum, 4,023.
Ooh.
Yep. Ethereum's actually doing better than Bitcoin this year. I'd like to do a shout out right now. A happy birthday, 25 years old. You know what that is?
QQQ.
QQQ. That's the NASDAQ 100 ETF. Very actively traded, very widely owned. There's actually one that they came out with. It's a little bit cheaper. I think it's QQQM. Same thing, lower costs. But anyway, check this out. What a 25-year run this had. Up 737%.
No, that's not bad.
Since, what is that, 2000, like the year 2000. So with all the ups and downs and things it had and that stretch from 2003 to 2011, where it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, but it went up a lot between 2019 and today.
Yep, sure did. And that's because just simply companies are doing better, right? That's it. No buybacks, things like that. Nope. Nope. Here's a story that makes you think. You're probably talking about this on No Agenda. No Agenda, Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, Thursdays and Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. This got to be something you're going to be talking about is the Boeing whistleblower.
Yeah, the Boeing whistleblower dead. He killed himself for some unknown reason.
In the middle of a trial.
In the middle of a trial that he was jacked up about. He enjoyed himself. He was bringing out the stuff that he's been spending his whole life to uncover. And then out of the blue shoots himself somehow.
Shoots himself in his car.
Just shoots himself in a car someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like foul play, if you ask me.
Yeah, they call him with a suffering and apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. No word of foul play is suspected, but police are investigating. His lawyer...
Suspected by everybody but the police.
His lawyer is insisting that alleged comes in front of the word suicide.
Well, good for his lawyer, although that's not going to do much good when the fix is in.
Yep. Boeing sends their regards, by the way.
they sent a wreath.
Yes, it is. We are hurt by this and really want to continue. We wanted to continue this trial so badly. But now the star witness is gone and they're going to do a mistrial. And I don't know what to say. I don't know if they're going to do a mistrial. But
Whatever they do, it's Boeing will be fine, except for all these problems. They had just another one from a flight from Australia where something went amiss. They had like five incidents in the last 1 week.
Yep. Weight Watchers. Boeing.
Well, but they're all United Airlines, too, which is probably the real issue here.
They were all United, really?
Yeah, all of them. Five United issues. The wheel flies off. This does happen. That happens. Hmm. Yeah, after the door blew out of the Southwest plane, it's all been United. Whose CEO is a notorious drag queen.
Oh, is that right?
You don't know this?
No, I do not know this.
Well, you should know this.
United Airlines CEO drag. Scott Kirby. It's a video of him dancing dressed as a drag queen. Refers to 2020 view and explains his company. Oh. Really? See, is there any images? Oh, that's not right. That's so not right. It was so. I mean, does he do this regularly? Is this a regular thing?
I don't know the guy. Maybe. I mean, he's got a lot. There's a lot of photos of him dressed as a woman.
Interesting. Interesting.
Or as Curry likes to put it, a dude in a dress.
Yeah, a dude in a dress. That's what it is. Weight Watcher has been on a wild ride since Oprah got involved. We know it went up really nicely. Now she's leaving the board. Company got away from its roots with dieting, got started going on these diet drugs. Do you know that since 2001, stock is down 90%? Now, you can't
I
say
really
the same.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and they can't say the same about the impact of their programs on weight. Clearly not. 90%.
So Oprah's decided, it's going to come out in the next, I think, week or so. She left the board just before she put together a one-hour special on GLP-1 drugs. It's a TV show.
But that was...
I think there's some connection here because...
No, but they went into that business. Weight Watchers...
I know, and I think it would have been a conflict of interest.
Oh.
She wanted to do the TV show, so she got off the board because it would look like a conflict of interest, and something's up with this whole thing.
Is it a positive or a negative on GLP-1s?
I'm sure it's positive. She's using it.
Yeah. Spending
season.
You know,
it's going to bring out all. It's going to be one of those, oh, well, you know, people say bad things about it, but here's this and here's that. The problem with it, the way I always see it, is it's a lifetime. You're committing yourself to a lifetime of this drug, and if they pulled it off the market, you're going to be screwed.
Unless you could rewire your brain a little bit, yes. You know, just don't eat. That's what's happening. You're not eating. The drug is not just to let you know, the drug doesn't just wipe weight off of you. It doesn't just magically melt weight.
No.
You're just not eating.
Yeah, you're starving yourself.
Yeah. Let's see here. Presidential race underway. Spending and tax cuts are the top of the list of both contenders. Biden is presenting a $7 trillion budget and spending plan.
Yeah.
Trump is back to lower taxes.
That's $1.8 trillion to the deficit.
What is that? It's only 1.8, small numbers. It's not like it's 4 trillion. It's only 1.8. No matter who gets in office, big spending and bigger debt is on the horizon. That you can be sure of.
Seems to be the case.
And in closing for this part, I want to talk about Japan. We did a lot of Asia tonight in China, Asia, didn't we?
Yeah.
Here's a new thing that's going on in Japan. Male office workers at a telecom firm in Tokyo has experienced simulated menstrual pain to help them become more sympathetic toward female colleagues ahead of International Women's Day on Friday. That was last Friday. So the workers were wincing at pain.
It's easy enough to just go to a boxing, take up boxing and let them hit you below the belt a few times.
Yep. They put these devices called a pyrenoid on the stomach, and it sent electrical signals via pads placed below the navel to simulate the lower stomach muscle and induce a cramping sensation.
You know, if you eat the wrong food, men can get cramps. You know, it's if you've never had hot sauce, go have a nice California style burrito with too much hot sauce on it. You might have some issues.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yep. So this company, XEO, said it wants to create an environment where it's more than 90% male workforce can be more supportive of female peers, including when it comes to taking menstrual leave. There you have it. Next, they're going to attach a 12-pound bag of water to their stomach and make them walk around to know what it feels like being pregnant. You know?
This is just can't make window dressing for some group or other.
Yep. Can't make it up. All right, let's get to the game. Here we go.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good.
I think you're, we got one kicked off at AMD. I think it was your short.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's up. Yep. It's up 7, 8, 9%.
Mm-hmm.
The Boeing short looks good. That was one of my winners. It's up almost 10%. The Apple short is up. It was down for a while. It's up. Spirit Airlines, another one of yours, got kicked.
Yeah.
I don't know what you were doing there. You were always going to be some sort of a
miracle.
Bounce back.
A miracle. I was the hope. A miracle.
It can still happen. It's possible. I think that's still not a bad idea.
Yeah.
My Sable offshore has done nothing. But I do have a couple of winners here, or one at the end. I got 27% up on Beyond Meat short.
Yep, and you were getting crap from Adam, weren't you?
No, he was giving me. He was the one who went, "Oh, you should never short into earnings." So right. I already picked that up, and I'm thinking, okay, whatever. It's up 15%. So shorting into earnings,
27 by the end of today.
Oh wow. And yours looks like I got two more for today. But you've got two shorts, which I find interesting.
Well, they're kind of...
And they're both Bitcoin. Don't we have a rule that you don't invest in the exact same thing?
No, we don't have that rule. They're not exactly the same. One is the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. If we're going to do one, I'm doing the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. One is just a pure play on Bitcoin. The other one is a Bitcoin ETF, this ETF, this trust, that has an enormous premium over the actual price. Like, for example,
I like this one. So the other one, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, if you want, I'll take that off because it's the same investment. I was just kind of curious to see how it would potentially play against each other. So in other words, if Bitcoin is, let's pick a number, down 10%, right? Are they both going to be down 10%? Or is this Grayscale going to be down like 25%?
Oh, you want to do it so you can compare the two?
Yeah.
Okay, leave them both on then, just for that, as an exercise and an exception.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. What do you got?
I think that. Well, I got some longs. I don't have any shorts, which is, I don't know, maybe I should look for shorts. But I got a couple of just straight insider stuff, and one of them is like a kind of a screw. It's screwy. It's FLYX, which is Fly Exclusive, and I think. I think this is an insider trade, but it's cheap stock, $17. I think I'm looking at the chart. The chart activity makes it look like a buyout candidate to me.
What is the symbol?
FLYX.
How come I don't have that?
No, it's around. FLYX.
FLYX.
F.
Yeah.
L.
I don't know what this is.
Look it up. Fly
I
Exclusive.
I see it, but I don't see it on. Yeah, there it is. Is it brand new?
Well, it's been around before 2004 as a stock.
I don't know why it's not showing up. I see it. Here. CNBC. Let's see if it's on CNBC. FlyX, New York Stock Exchange, American. I don't understand. It's been around for years. It's not coming up on Google. That's not good. Okay. FLYX Google stock.
It's odd.
Flux power. FLYX. It's just not. FLYX. No. No. Let me go to here. One more thing. Let me get here. Okay.
Let's go to
Google stocks. And then I put here. And I don't know. I don't know why this isn't coming up. It's not coming up.
Well, there has to be some explanation. I got another one. You can work on
1850, that. Yeah, it says it, but it's just not.
Maybe it's a bug. Maybe it's just down right now.
Maybe. All right, what's the other one?
This is 89 Bio Inc. This is also a bunch of inside. So this is one of these private equity companies, I think, or capital management groups buying $20 million worth of ETNB. And I think I'm short on biotechnology stocks. I don't think there's too many on the list anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see if this one comes up. Yep, that one came up.
Huh.
That one came up. That one is Insiders.
It's another cheap stock, $12.
Okay. Okay, Control C. I'll take it here. Here. All right. Did you want to talk about Toast?
What about Toast?
Well, look it's up nicely.
Oh, you mean do I want to talk about how great?
Yes.
Your pick was.
Yes. Look at just look at all the top, by the way. It's yours and mine, but look at the top. That all looks good.
Toast, you got 74%. This is that food tech company you invested in back in 11/8/23. Toast. I guess you wanted me to say, wow.
Yeah, wow.
74% gain. This is the number one stock on the entire list with nothing to really close to it. It was one of the greatest picks of the year. Is that what you want me to say?
That's good. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you didn't have to say that. That was nice of you, though. But you had Prophase up 26%. Oh, no, not Prophase. What's the other one? Disney up 20. No, is that you? Yeah, Disney up 21%.
Well, Disney's going to struggle.
Going up 9%. Apple.
It's not going to get up to 74%. That's for sure. Disney.
There's one that I have to check. Something doesn't feel right.
You got your Shark Ninja on there, which I think was a good call.
There's something else on here that I'm concerned about. Let me look. Alpha Protech. I need to look at that. That one may have come off. I have to look at that one. That may have stopped.
Which one?
Alpha Protech, the one for the hazmat suits, up 17%.
Oh, right. Your hazmat operation. Yeah.
You know what? That must be off. I'll tell you why. No, it's still on.
It looks good.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we're going to end it right there.
Okay. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. We're going to work next Tuesday, right?
I have a business meeting next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday is the meeting.
No, that's not right. It's Tuesday after that.
So Tuesday after that.
Scratch that conversation after that. Yeah, we're good next Tuesday.
Yeah, we got a show.
Yeah, we got a show. It's the day before my birthday. Definitely, we're going to do it.
Oh, your birthday.
Yep. All right. See ya.
All right. All right. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered
or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.